Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show.
San Diego, it's time to fire it up. From the beaches to the ballparks, from the gas lamp to North County, no one knows America's finest city like he does.
You can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime use.
He's a fourth-generation San Diegan, born and raised in the heart of this community. Passionate, opinionated, and always bringing you the real talk on your teams, your city, and everything in between.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
Live and local, it's the Brayden Sir Brennan Show.
But I think Brayden is one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Now, here's your host, Brayden Sir Prenant.
What's up, San Diego? And a happy Wednesday to everybody out there in America's finest city. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Sir Prenant. We are the Brayden Sir Prenant Show each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We got a lot to get to today. This is what happens when you miss a day, Frank. We had a nice off day celebrating the veterans that have represented, or should I have said, have given sacrifice to our country by doing everything that obviously they do to protect us here at home. And a big thank you again to all the veterans out there for doing everything that they have done for us and the betterment of us. So great to get an off day. Hopefully a lot of you veterans out there got the day off from work. But that's why we were off yesterday. And when you miss a day, you got to start catching up on a lot of stuff that happened over the last 24 hours in the sports world. I mean, a lot of things don't just stand around while you have the day off. So it's good to be back. Good to be back talking sports with you. You know, and here's how this is going to lay out. We talked about it on Monday. Going to have a lot of football talk today on the Brayden Suprenant Show. But you know what? We got a lot of Padres topics to dive into. And I want to start the show with a lot of them. You know, we're going to hear from Craig Stammen a little bit later. He was on with Ben and Woods. He was on with the morning show. And they asked him a lot of different questions that were not asked about him, you know, not asked of him on Monday during his press conference. And there's only so much more of that we're going to unpack. But there's a lot of other news that wants to, that is, you know, trickulated out over the last 24, 48 hours. And there's some that, you know, are interesting topics. And there's some with, like, what are the Padres doing on this particular deal? Let's talk about some of these things. Okay. The first thing that really is coming out is a look at what Bob Nightingale said on a podcast. And that was the idea of potentially trading Fernando Tatis Jr. And he quotes, you know, other general managers are saying the Padres are, you know, and it talks about the finances. I find that very hard to believe from a perspective of like, well, they have all these contracts, they're all deferred money, and or not deferred, but it's all backloaded contracts and they're losing money and all that. I don't see the Padres trading away Fernando Tatis Jr. for that particular reason. I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that the team with the, you know, I think second most in attendance, and the only reason why they're second most in attendance is because Dodger Stadium is a way bigger stadium than Petco Park. I mean, I'd have to go check the numbers, but percentage-wise, this organization gets a lot of support. This organization, I don't think, is hemorrhaging money. Like, it might have been a couple of years ago when they, you know, spent a lot of that money. I don't find that to be true. Are they making as much? I don't know. According to Forbes, they had like $400 million in revenue. Until you see the books get opened, I don't think you're really going to know how much money they're making or losing. Nor do I care. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. for those reasons. Now, here's the other thing. If they do decide to trade Fernando, I think it would be for a reason of using, like spreading out your assets. I think Fernando's got a very affordable contract. I think he's got a very, you know, unique contract. I think that's what makes it very enticing for a lot of teams. And I think a lot of general managers kind of want to, you know, get that talk going to see what happens. And that's why, like, guys like Bob Nightingale report this information. There is some gamesmanship being played about a lot of these, you know, protection. Like, oh, they should trade this guy. They should not trade this guy. First of all, Fernando's got a full no-trade clause. So it's a non-starter for me. If they want to think about, like, allocating the assets in different spots and almost pulling, like, if we trade Micah Parsons to the Packers and we use that money to fill out the rest of the roster, I could see it from that kind of perspective, but I just don't see that happening. Because here's the deal. Fernando Tatis Jr., as a member of the Padres, when he's at his best, he is the lifeblood of the San Diego Padres. He is a guy that I think you cannot just quit on. And so if they're going to do it to try to move the money around so you have a more balanced roster, I see that happening more than like, oh, we just don't have any money anymore. I don't find that to be the case. These organizations know, they know how to spend money. They know how to make money. They know how to not put themselves in a financial downturn. So from all of that perspective, I find this story from Bob Nightingale to be, I don't know, it's just kind of hearsay. And here's the deal. I feel like I've heard this almost every offseason, like, oh, the Padres should trade Fernando Tatis Jr. I just don't see that happening. Again, despite everything that has happened in Fernando's career, and I think he's done a great job of maturing. I think he's trying to figure it out. He has made some phenomenal plays in his transition to right field. You know, I think he's elevated his game a little bit with being a little bit more patient. You would like to see him hit for a little bit more power. Yeah, wasn't necessarily the greatest offensive production out of Fernando this year, but the Padres are better with him on the team than they are with him playing against them. And so from that perspective, I think you have to find a way to work with Fernando to get him to the level that he was and the big reason why he gave him the contract in the first place. That's why this managerial hire was important on the sense of getting a guy that's going to get the most out of the top players on the team. They've spent the money on these guys. They're expecting them to help carry the team over the next handful of years, and Fernando is a part of that equation. So I don't really think there's too much fire to the smoke that's being put out there. I'd be interested to see what they could potentially get. Maybe. I think you'll have to be open to all ideas. I just don't see the Padres pulling the trigger on something like that. And that's something that has been talked about over the last couple of days. I don't find it to be that believable. If it's a way to use that money to get starting pitching and go get other assets and build a team around, you know, whatever you got, like Jackson Merrill, maybe. But even then, like, I just feel like it's a hard sell to a lot of people to trade away Fernando Tatis Jr. I just don't see it really happening. But that was kind of the big news that we got on Monday into Tuesday.
when it came to the Padres. The other thing we got was the Padres were interested in potentially bringing back Luis Arraez. Okay, I find that interesting too. Now, from that perspective, okay, this is from FanSided. The report was the San Diego Padres want Luis Arraez back. And here's the excerpt from that article. The Padres have interest in retaining free agent and infielder Luis Arraez, according to AJ Preller. Arraez, who's 28, is known for his bat and is coming off a season which he hit .292, .327, and a .392 on base percentage with a .719 OPS, 8 home runs, and 61 RBIs. In his 7-year career, he's hitting .317 with a .777 OPS, 36 home runs, and 308 RBIs. ESPN has projected Arraez to sign a 2-year, $17 million contract this offseason. That's about $8.5 million a year. I don't find that money to be a crazy purchase for Arraez. I think in a vacuum, when just talking about adding a guy like Luis Arraez to your roster for $8.5 million, I don't think it's that crazy. Now, here's the problem with the Padres potentially bringing back Luis Arraez. Are we going to have to watch him bat second every single day? I mean, really? I think that would be an interesting conversation. I just can't imagine that being the case. I mean, it was frustrating to watch for most of the year last year. So that's a question. Here's the other thing, too. Again, in the grand scheme of things, I think adding a player, again, if it's in a vacuum, not talking about the situation that is at hand, but for a guy that the organization likes, a guy that the clubhouse likes, a guy that loves being here in San Diego and does give you production in some way. He does give you production. For $8.5 million, it's not bad. It's not terrible. Now, here's where it doesn't fit the Padres. Where is he going to play? You need a power-hitting first baseman or a power-hitting DH. You have that potentially in Gavin Sheets. So if you bring in Luis Arraez, he has to play either first base or DH. You cannot have a contact hitter at first base or at DH. And I thought at the end of the season, Arraez actually played pretty good defense for the Padres. But you cannot sign a guy that has his attributes to an everyday first baseman position or an everyday DH. Now, if he was like a quick player and a good defender at second, like maybe you sign him to be a second baseman. Again, in a vacuum, at $8.5 million, that makes sense. It's not crazy. That's not a crazy deal. But for the San Diego Padres, I think you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole by bringing Luis Arraez back. And so there's a lot of factors in there. Again, I don't think that particular deal would be a crazy deal, but here's where you have to have the conversation. And this is where you have to break it down. We're going to go into more detail about this in the next segment. But how much money do the Padres have to actually spend on their roster? That's question number one. And you know what? You're never going to know the answer to that question. The Padres are going to know the answer to that question, but nobody else is going to know the answer to that question because you don't know the books, nor do I need to. You're going to slowly get an idea as free agency goes about, but you need to know how much money they're willing to spend. You also need to know, with that money, can you fit in a guy like Luis Arraez and still get starting pitching and still get power bats? It just, the situation for the Padres in bringing Arraez back doesn't make as much sense as if you were just looking at it from in a vacuum. So I like Luis Arraez. I think he brings value to teams. I think he probably gets more valued in a Padres uniform. But let's talk about this for a second. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, does Luis Arraez actually fit on this Padres team? Should the Padres re-sign him for a relative 2-year, $17 million deal? We're just getting started on the Braden Soprano Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Through the fan. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Soprenet. This is the Brayden Soprenet Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So the report we got from FanSided was that the Padres were interested in bringing back Luis Arraez. And part of this report, it laid out what the Padres basically are, you know, what Arraez would get, you know, as a projection for from the open market. You know, AJ Preller talked to Robert Murray, who wrote this article. And Robert Murray puts in there that ESPN reported, or is giving their guess, that projection, Arraez would sign a 2-year, $17 million contract this offseason. So let's just use those numbers as a guideline. And a lot of this stuff in the offseason is kind of like guidelines. Okay. I mentioned it in my open. Luis Arraez for $8.5 million a year for 2 years at age 28 to get his 29-30 season, right? Or 28-29 season. Is not a bad move, I think, for a lot of baseball teams. The guy can hit, albeit his average is dropping a little bit. Maybe you consider last year a fluke. His defense is okay. It's not crazy good. It's also not crazy bad. He could bring some production and value to a team. Now, that's like looking at it where we're just adding this guy and we're not talking about payroll for the rest of the team. We're not talking about other needs. And we're not talking about what his position would be. So now you think about it from a Padres perspective. And the reality is, where does he fit on the team? Unless you make some type of other move. Right? Like, to me, if you traded Jake Cronenworth to free up money and you bring Arraez in at $8.5 million, you're saving $4 million. You're going from a guy that might have a little bit more power to a guy with, you know, more contact. You have a second baseman. You open up first base and DH to be guys that could be power hitters. And you could probably get better power hitters than maybe a guy like Jake Cronenworth. That makes a little bit more sense. But let's say you're not doing that. And it's just you're adding this guy back to the team. He's going to take either first base or second or DH. And with Jake Cronenworth, like, he's either taking first base or DH if you're Luis Arraez. You know, Jake Cronenworth's better as a second baseman because, again, his power at second base is a lot better than his power at first base. You need a power-hitting first baseman. The Padres haven't had one of those in years. They could probably use a power-hitting DH. They haven't had one of those ever in reality. So there's not really a place for him to play on the team. Again, contract-wise, it's not crazy. Unless you start talking about how much money think the Padres have available to spend. We don't know what that number is. Do we think it's $20 million? Do we think it's $30 million? I mean, are they going to try to stay under a luxury tax again? They went over it last year, so now all of a sudden it would be a recurring problem. Do the Padres risk that because they know that there's going to be labor negotiations at the end of the season? And who knows if those rules are still going to be in place? As of right now, the Padres' estimated payroll is $201 million. You think the Padres are going to spend $230 million? That would give them $30 million to spend. I don't necessarily know that's the case. I mean, it sounds like they want to be around $200 million. They were $211 million last year. And they got to get starting pitching, and they got to get power hitters. So, from a contract perspective, if you don't have, let's just say they do have $30 million to spend. Are you going to spend $8.5 million of that million on Luis Arraez when you need starting pitching? And then you start talking about, well, I guess you could use the trade market to try to get starting pitching. Who are you going to trade? There's got to be, you got to try to find some value with some names that a lot of people don't know about, unless you're trading a guy like Ethan Salas. I don't see the Padres doing that. So as much as like the 2 year, $17 million projected payroll for Luis Arraez makes decent sense, when added into the conversation of, well, where does he fit on the team and how much are you allocating for a guy like Luis Arraez, I'm sorry. It's probably time to move on and go to somebody else. But here's the other thing in comparison. Like, I don't think you're going to get a lot of players as good as Luis Arraez for $8.5 million or less. I still think that's kind of a good deal for a guy like Luis Arraez. But the problem is the Padres don't need more contact hitters. They need more slug. And they got to try to find a guy that is around $10 million that's going to give them some slug. On top of the fact that they need to add starting pitching. So when I look at this Luis Arraez conversation, obviously the Padres would like to have him back. He is a player that is well-liked in the clubhouse. He is a player that, you know, a lot of the fans like Luis Arraez, like his style. He brings you some production. But I just don't feel like he fits into the mold. I think a lot of people would rather see Ryan O'Hearn back in a Padres uniform because he has that power aspect and he can bring, you know, he can run into home run. I mean, he's got to hit a decent amount of home runs. He was an all-star last year. He could play DH and be a power-hitting DH. He could be a first baseman and be a power-hitting first baseman. So I can hit like 25 home runs. But I think a lot of people are willing to spend $8.5 million on Ryan O'Hearn for what he brings to this team more than Luis Arraez and what he brings to this team. And I think what the interesting move would be is if you do decide to go with Luis Arraez at $8.5 million a year based on projections, then all of a sudden you see Ryan O'Hearn sign for something the same or less. And then Padres fans are going to be like, what's the deal? So I like his production to an extent. I think he fits certain teams. I think he fits certain molds. And I think $8.5 million is not a crazy number for a guy like Luis Arraez. But at the same time, I don't see him fitting into this team unless you trade Jake Cronenworth. If you trade Jake Cronenworth, that frees up a lot of money if somebody's able to, you know, somebody's willing to take on his money, which I think people are. I think Jake Cronenworth has played enough to a level where, you know, $12 million is kind of the going rate for a guy like Jake. I don't think it's a bad contract. It's not an albatross contract. But if they trade Jake, I could see them potentially re-signing Luis Arraez. But can you really go into next season with most of the same lineup you had last year? I mean, let's talk about if you sign Luis Arraez. Your outfield, same as last year. Laureano, Merrill, and Tatis. Your infield would be the same as last year. Arise, Cronenworth, Bogarts, Machado. Your catcher would be the same as last year. Freddie Fermin. And then you have Gavin Sheets as a DH instead of like a guy like Ryan O'Hearn. I mean, you would essentially be bringing back the exact same lineup unless you're signing Luis Arise to be a bench piece. And are you going to spend $8.5 million on a bench piece? That's an honest question. Doesn't seem like a lot, but then when you start thinking about all the money that you need to get starting pitching or to get a power bat, why would you spend $8.5 million for a bench piece? So these are all interesting questions that are obviously being hashed out down at Petco Park. But I would rather have, if it came down to O'Hearn and Arise, because those are the comparable spots, I'd rather have O'Hearn. Arise and Jake Cronenworth? I don't know. At this point, like, wouldn't you rather have Jake Cronenworth? He plays better defense than Arise. He's going to hit more home runs than Arise. He's going to have a higher OPS than Arise. The only thing that would do is, like, you would save $4 million and you would get money off the books if you traded Jake. It's an interesting conversation. I mean, we mentioned, and these are the interesting conversations you get during the offseason. We'll get more rumors out there. You know, another one was with the pitching staff for the Padres and what they wanted to do. I mean, there was a couple of names that were brought out of a Kevin Acey article about who could potentially be turned into a starting pitcher. And there's some options in that bullpen. And there are some options that are not named Mason Miller, and some options that are not named Adrian Morejon that the Padres are seriously considering to be starting pitchers. Who are these players? We'll talk about it when we come back on the Brayton Soprenet Show, San Diego Summer Sports Station, 97 through the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
It's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayton Soprenet. This is the Brayton Soprenet Show, live and local each and every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego Summer Sports Station 97.3. The Fan. A lot to get to today. We're going to talk college football and the NFL later on. But here in the first segment, there is a lot of Padres news to get to and a lot of Padres conversations to be had. And we love days like this. A lot of updates from Kevin Acey about a lot of different deals that are going on, a lot of different things behind the scenes, some other things that involve what could be some players maybe being used as starting pitchers. We're going to get to that in a second. But I do want to get Frank in here. A couple of things that we talked about early on. The Fernando Tatis Jr. trade situation, which I think is a non-starter
erroneous.
For me. I think it is erroneous. I think it's funny here. How about this? I didn't even like bring this angle up yet. But how about like you have all these national media people. And I'm going to call them out for a second. All these national media people that talk about everybody can do what the Dodgers do. And then yet, what do these people do all the time when it comes to these organizations? You know what they say? The
Padres need to trade Fernando.
They need to trade
Tatis
Fernando
Jr.
to save money.
To save money.
They need to trade. The Pirates need to trade Paul Skeens to save money. The so-and-so team needs to trade players to save money. Meanwhile, they like to shove down our throats that anybody could do what the Dodgers do. Well, then why do you continue to say all these teams need to send away players because they can't afford them? If that's the case, that means not everybody can do what the Dodgers do. I just, it's like, it's crazy to me. I can't believe it. You can't, something has to give. So Bob Nightingale reported that, like, you know, on a podcast that the Padres are losing money and like, oh, we can't have Fernando Tatis Jr. on the team. General managers are telling me Padres can't afford to have all these players. The only one that they can afford to trade is Fernando. Come on. Come on. Erroneous. Erroneous. What is your take on that, Frank? Erroneous.
If you're trading Fernando Tatis Jr., you are starting a rebuild. This is not That's not the position that this team is in.
He also has a full no trade clause, by the way.
Yeah, they have shown that they have no intention of rebuilding with the way that they trade away their minor league system every single year without fail. There's no possible way that they are trading Fernando Tatis Jr., having made the playoffs for the last 5 years, something that this franchise has never done. They are on the precipice of continuous success. Now is not the time to back out of it. If you're going to do it, you're going to go broke doing it right now.
I think the only thing that makes sense about potentially trading Fernando is we're going to send his all that money that we're giving him, and we're going to try to spread it into three or four really, really good players. But at that point, I think that's still a hard sell. I think that's a hard sell.
He's a two-time Platinum Glove winner. This city loves him. He's the face of your organization.
And when he's right, he's right.
There's nothing. When he is on, he is easily one of the best players that this generation has to offer.
He's also about to be, he's going to be 27 next season.
In the heart of his prime.
Correct. That would be the dumbest time. They're only saying this to like get Yankees fans all excited.
There is absolutely no reason for this organization with the way it is right now to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. Makes no sense whatsoever.
That'd be a fun game. We can let you pretend. This is going to be great. We can have Frank pretend to be a stupid Yankees fan and then like try to give us the dumbest trade proposal possible.
Jason Dominguez. And what's his name? Oh, what's the pitcher's name? Hold on. I mean, and also while I'm looking this up, dumb Yankee fan. That's kind of putting a hat on a hat. If you're saying you're a Yankee fan, you're already kind of admitting.
Okay. No personal attacks here. I know the Mets guy's talking, but I think it'd be a fun game. Who could come up with the dumbest Yankees trade for Fernando? Because they come up with some dumb stuff on there.
Oswaldo Cabrera.
Those are still too high priority. I mean, Yankees fans will go and like grab three dudes from single A, and then you'd be like, oh look, here we go.
Braden Shoemake spells his name correctly, so already
Jose. That's value. Then there's value in that.
Jose Caballero and the impending Tommy John surgery that is Cam Schlittler.
Excuse me,
for Fernando Tatis Jr. Well, usually
there's a couple of people that are in New York right now that if they heard that would be like, "That's a great trade. That's a great trade.
Yeah,
great trade." So yeah, we're both out on that. What about the Luis Arraez situation?
I
I think in a vacuum, the $8.5 million is not crazy. But when you try to fit him on the Padres, that's where it starts to not make sense.
Yeah, square peg, round hole. I've said it multiple times that first base is a left-handed power hitter's position. He is not a power hitter, so he doesn't fit that mold. Neither does Jake Cronenworth, for that matter. You have the ability to go out and get a power hitter that can play first base, such as a Ryan O'Hearn. Pete Alonso is not in your price range. It's easy to say go with the devil you know instead of the devil you don't know in that case. But I think, again, you're on the cusp of doing something that this organization has never done before. You got to go for it now. If you're going to take a chance, if you're going to take a risk, now is the time. Now is the time to do it.
Here's the deal with the starting pitching as we transition to what I think is probably the most glaring need for the Padres. Is anybody in disagreement of that?
No.
It's the starting pitching. I mean, that's a massive problem, especially since there was a little bit of, you know, conversation of whether or not Yu Darvish would retire and free up some money to spend on starting pitching, or if he didn't, at least you knew that he was going to be part of the team. Well, he had a procedure. Now he's not going to be part of the equation. And so now you have Nick Pivetta, you have Joe Musgrove coming off of an injury, and then you have Randy Vasquez and Matt Waldron and J.P. Sears and maybe a Johnny Brito. I mean, the options, there's a lot of options, but not necessarily something that sounds like a playoff rotation. Here's what A.J. Perlow had to say about that in the article from Kevin Acey this morning. Every year, every team in here is talking about starting pitching. But especially with King and Cease and free agency and Darvish's injury, it's probably our top need going into the offseason. Kevin Acey goes, no, probably, definitely. Well, they're also looking for a first baseman. The Padres see it as imperative as that they add at least two quality starting pitchers. Darvish is out for the season after having his UCL surgically repaired last month. The Padres' rotation currently projects to consist of Nick Pivetta, Joe Musgrove, Randy Vasquez, and J.P. Sears. They might get creative to add to that group. The Padres continue to mold, turning one of their back-end relievers into a starter, a la Seth Lugo in 2023, Michael King in 2024, and Stephen Kolick last season. This time, it could be Jeremiah Estrada, Mason Miller, or Adrian Morahone who make the move. Such a move seems unlikely at this point, but closer Robert Suarez opted out of his contract, and the Padres don't want to mess with what was, by many measures, MLB's top bullpen in 2025. Here's what Preller had to say. You want to make sure that we don't look up and have two mediocre units. But the idea was briefly broached at the end of the season, and conversations with those pitchers will commence in earnest in the next week or so. Said Preller, it's talking to the individual pitcher and seeing where his head is at, how much he really wants to do that and make that transition. A more probable route is to bring in a couple of pitchers from the outside. The Padres are likely not going to be shopping at the top of the free agent market. In fact, they're almost certainly moving on from two pitchers considered to be at the top of the market. Cease and King were both given qualifying offers, and both are expected to reject them rather than to accept one-year $22 million deals. That means the Padres will be in line to receive two draft picks to be exercised between the fourth and fifth rounds. There is talk that a trade or two might be a more likely route to find a mid-rotation pitcher. And quote from A.J. Preller, we've had just very limited talk so far. That's what these meetings are for, to kind of get a little bit more sense of what is out there. Okay. There's the conversation about the starting pitching. I would imagine you're not going to see Michael King nor Dylan Cease in a Padres uniform next year. I think that's fair to say. They're gone. So now you have to find ways to fill out a rotation. And I think you have multiple options. You're going to sign mid-tier free agents. It's a potential solution. But you're taking a risk, and hopefully Craig Stammen and Ruben Niebla can maybe turn some of these guys that you sign into, you know, getting an elite year out of them. I mean, you're talking about guys like Chris Paddock in the middle of the deal, right? Chris Paddock, that's the kind of player that you're looking for. there's other pitchers that you might be able to trade for, maybe. That's another option. The other thing you could do is try to convert some of these bullpen arms into starting pitchers. Now, Ken Rosenthal reported that David Morgan might be a candidate for this as well. Kevin Acey is saying Jeremiah Estrada's name. Out of the four guys that I listed, Frank, I think the safer play is to try to convert Estrada and Morgan into starting pitching over Mason Miller, who is the best bullpen arm in baseball, and a guy like Adrian Morahon that you finally got to a point where he's got confidence and is one of the best left-handed bullpen arms as well, sitting back there. And as AJ Preller said, and I totally agree with, you don't want to make both entities mediocre by taking the good from what, you know, by taking the good and putting it into the bad and then making both sides basically even. I like the idea of Morahon and Miller being starters, but in terms of risk reward, like to me, like a guy like Jeremiah Estrada, who you really didn't trust a whole lot at the end of the season, him potentially being a starting pitcher, I think is worth the risk. David Morgan, who throws hard as well, he's a guy that I think is worth the risk to turn into a starting pitcher. Yes, good bullpen arms, not great bullpen arms, but they could potentially help out the starting rotation. And even though I said at the beginning part of this offseason that the two guys that probably would have the most success because they're former starters and Morahon and Miller would come back, but it's a safer play to try to convert Estrada and Morgan. You're not gonna you know, risk your asset being, you know, ruined. It's not a big roll of the dice to convert two of those guys. Out of the four, pick two to try to move into a starting role. Who are the two you picking?
Morgan and Morahon would be my two. I see Morgan as more of a pitcher who throws hard, which I think would translate a little bit better into being a starter. Estrada to me just feels like a fireballer, and that's more or less what he's got. I would leave him in the bullpen where you could use a fireballer a little bit more. Morahon, I think between Morahon and Miller, I think Morahon is the better overall complete pitcher. So I would take, instead of going both from the safe bucket, I would go one from each. I would take Morgan because I think he's the most adept out of all four of those guys. I think he's the most adept to be able to move to the rotation. And Morahon because I think he would be just as good in the starter role as he is right now. Miller, I see, is too valuable in the back end of the bullpen.
I mean, he's going to lock down one inning, right?
Right.
I mean, that's your deal is he's going to lock down an inning, but wouldn't you
I would rather give him a couple innings? I would rather him lock down an inning and knowingly have him instead of trying to stretch him out, him throwing too hard, him now needing a surgery, and missing him for a year.
See, the thing that scares people about the Mason Miller situation is that he was a starting pitcher and he had to move to the bullpen because it wasn't great on his arm in Oklahoma. And that with that knowledge, it scares a lot of people. Mm-hmm. If that wasn't already out there, if he didn't have any of those problems, I think people would be more inclined. But I think with how much value you gave up for a guy like Mason Miller, people are going to be afraid to take the risk of the asset, which I understand. I think out of the four, Mason Miller would be the best starter, and I think it would give you the most value in terms of your trade.
Yeah, right. I don't disagree with that at all.
I still think you have the conversation with Miller. I still think you ask what his opinion is. If he says he wants to give it a shot, I think you let him in the offseason try to build up throughout the offseason to try to do it. You're going to see his velocity go down, which is fine. I mean, still in the high 90s, and the slider that he has is going to be a lethal combination, right? So you could do that. And to me, starting pitching is more valuable than bullpen pitching. It's not even an opinion. That's just like a factual statement. Go look at all Fangraphs WAR and B WAR. What? Who's the highly valued players? They're guys that could get you outs multiple innings, not guys that are just there for one inning. And the thing with bullpen help, and everybody's like worried about the bullpen. When's the last time the Padres had a lousy bullpen? Can you think of a time that they ever had a lousy bullpen?
I remember,
I'm sure there's a couple of times mixed in. You're like, man, the bullpen sucks. But the reality is, the Padres, at least in my lifetime, have always had a bullpen.
I remember in high school and in college and in the years in between, watching this Padre team, whether they were good or bad, and looking at their bullpen every single year, wondering who the hell are these guys and why are they pitching so well?
I think a lot of it's Petco Park.
Oh, yes. I
think
agree.
A lot of it's Petco Park. But
the basic point I was making was, you're right. They have always had a good bullpen, and for the most part, it's been guys you've never heard of before or guys that were given a second chance mm-hmm. in their careers. I saw I believe it was Nami Soleimani in the chat asking, when is Jason Adam out? From the original timeline we heard, I would be shocked to see him before the All-Star break.
You might get him at the second half of the season if you're lucky.
Yeah, I would be shocked to see him before the All-Star break.
But the reality is, and as Frank mentioned, I mean, how many times was the token All-Star for the Padres in those down years their closer?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just one after another. Remember, everybody was afraid about losing Heath Bell.
Mike Adams was right after him.
Everybody was afraid about losing Houston Street. Everybody was afraid of insert closer here. The Padres have had great closers. We're worried about, you know, aside from the fact that Josh Hader pissed everybody off. I mean, you're like, I can't believe we're losing Josh Hader. Same thing with Robert Suarez now. I can't believe we're losing Robert Suarez. I mean, it's one after the other. They've been able to...
Yeah, Luke Gregerson.
Luke Gregerson was a stud after the fact. They were able to replenish the bullpen year in and year out. And guess what that does? It's those are non-costly arms.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost a lot of money to bring in bullpen arms. It doesn't. It doesn't cost a lot of money to bring in veteran bullpen arms. It doesn't cost a lot of money to bring in young bullpen arms. I mean, what is the biggest asset you have in your farm system right now? It's your bullpen.
Yeah.
The only thing that costs a lot of money in the bullpen is a closer. And that's like after they've accomplished a lot. And how many of those deals usually work out for teams that go sign those guys? Like Edwin Diaz's contract. Did that work out for the Mets?
No.
No. I mean, how many times was he not the closer? I mean, it was back and forth.
Never got a chance for it to work out.
Right? I mean, I'm sure Houston likes having Josh Hader. I mean, how many teams has Aroldis Chapman been on?
Oh, he's bounced all over.
All over the place.
Cincinnati, Chicago, the Yankees twice, Boston.
What about Craig Kimbrell? That was another guy, the Padres. Okay, we're losing Craig Kimbrell. That guy bounced around all the time.
Boston here.
Brian Wilson. I mean, let's just start thinking about all these closers that everybody is. They're so lights out. They get replenished all the time. What doesn't get replenished all the time is great starting pitching.
Like I said, my biggest concern, and if you're going to ask Mason Miller to do it, now's the time to do it. So he has the entire offseason to get ready and prepare for it. Not
and it
only
sounds like they're doing
mentally,
that
but physically.
This week and the next week.
Which, fair play, at least ask the question, if you're AJ Preller, you can't leave any stone unturned.
No.
Anything you think you have that can help this team, you have to explore it. So I'm okay with asking him. My biggest concern is... if he gets hurt, you're out not only a decent starting pitcher, but you're out a for sure all-star closer for an undetermined amount of time. That's my biggest concern with it.
Yeah.
When you can just leave him in the bullpen, you know he's going to be fine. You know he's going to pitch. You know he's going to do what he's going to do. That is my only concern, is him moving to the rotation and hurting himself, and now you're out Mason Miller for a long time when you could have just left him in the bullpen and just had him be that one inning lockdown guy.
It's the risk reward. Sometimes you got to take a risk, and when you have
right
the money situation the Padres have, because they spent a lot of money, And when you have the need for starting pitching and trying to find young, controllable, cheap starting pitching, I mean, these are the conversations that you have to have. I'm not afraid about it, because I think you have time to see if it's going to work or not, see what his arm is, see if he can take a little bit off of it and go deeper into games, and see if he could build his arm strength to that point. So I think you're taking a risk with all of these things. You can't make scared decisions or you'll never be a winner, is basically the point that I'm trying to make with the Mason Miller thing. But it's an interesting conversation. I think David Morgan could be a good starter too. So a lot of that.
I think he's the best of the four.
Yeah, low risk, high reward potentially. We're an hour down, 11 a.m. when we come back. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.